everybody. This is Tavo DRC, Pastor T of the Overseer of the DFW Leader Ministry Online Fellowship, as well as the Crossbody Unity Move. We're on podcast now on Spotify for podcasters and other places as well. I'm going to mention today some of my pet peeves, I guess, I noticed as a visitor, as a person who seems to be diagnosed when you're in certain false doctrines, which I believe are accusing people without even relating. And that's what, it's really a sign of arrogance, of pride. Maybe it's patriarchal superiority, elite. I don't know what this is. It's not foundational with the Christ who related. Let me go about talking first about Jesus. The diagnosis part is reading people, inner scanning. My another pet peeve, because I know it as a prophet, apostle on assignment. But it is also objectifying. It is also humiliating. It is means we know more without meeting you. We don't need to. Our credentials are so high. We're so full of ourselves that all we have to do is read you and scout your direction to see if you qualify to be accepted in our kind of spiritual beloved. That is the bottom line. Now let's contrast Christ. If we're looking for organic in modern day ministry without human synthetic additives, and nobody knows exactly what that is, I don't. But we're knowing that Christ did represent organic, fully organic Messiah, Savior, purpose, call, ministry, fruit, relationships, respect for his mother, all people, no bias at all. That's foundational. So we start with that, and we can look at another chapter. His brother-in-law, really his half-brother, James, the pastor of the Church of Jerusalem, writes that any wisdom that says it represents God is going to match up with James 3:17, pure, peaceable, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So we got to watch it when we're diagnosing, when we're using our spiritual qualities to assess, evaluate, and really hate to say it, a lot of them is sincere accusing based on false teaching. Jesus Christ is our goal. It says in Acts 10:38 that Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, who is in Hebrew earth suit for his assignment over in the Middle East, wasn't white. He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. That means stressed, self-conscious, oppressed, depressed, and oppressed by others, and stress in life and pressure. Even from the demons of the day, the unclean spirits of the realm. Jesus Christ, Acts 10:38, is a relationship sign of teaching. He went about, he related, doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, and the Lord was with him. The Lord was anointed him because he went about in God's purpose, in his organic way to produce fruit that brought people to the kingdom, a knowledge of the Savior for eternity. Humility, life more abundantly. So if we look at Jesus Christ went about, he didn't just drum it up. He just think, oh, I'll go about today and see what happened. No, he prayed first. He got the location. He went in the garden. He had a first love lifestyle and made sure his heart was pure, and he was always kind. So as he was led about the area, the area, we can be led about the nation or the globe right now. You got to be led and careful. But as he was led about doing good, being positive, not being, not being almighty or self-righteous, but pure in heart, not a might, to be reckoned with and to watch over you and make sure he is the Lord in that tone. No, that's the opposite. That's not humble. He went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed. He didn't come to oppress, depress, suppress anybody. He was not a slave driver, an owner of folk or persons, a totalitarian or an overriding, overstepping authoritarian to control people, nor a turf guarder. He didn't use his powers, his seerish powers, in any way that had guile, to oppress, to undermine, to use his charisma to fan his power, get things going in his favor. He wasn't a autocrat, but he wasn't a hypocrite, and he wasn't one that was playtime posturing, because he was humble. He was the true Savior, organic, not putting on shows. So if we look at James 3:17, it said that he was pure because he represented the wisdom from most on high. pure, peaceable, easily entreated, respected people, even if he differed with their values, their teaching, their things they said. He was easily entreated, respectful, full of mercy, compassion, not empathy free, not compassion for free, not diagnosing people to save himself time because he had a giant ego. He was pure, peaceable, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruit. What are the fruits? That would be Galatians 5:22-23, Apostle Paul. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, and self-control. The root of society, the root of government is personal self-control. We could all learn more in that. I can. So he was a self-governed authority. He kept his mouth shut at the right times. We all got to work on that. All right, James 3:17 is a criteria to evaluating, assessing visitors, new people, repeat attenders, and the repeat attenders and new people can evaluate the leadership, the elder, the fruit that's been there all that time that has joined these places. The fruit in ministry, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, self-control, but also the wisdom from above, love, joy, is pure, peaceable, easily entreated, respectful, full of mercy and not compassion fatigue, full of mercy and good fruit without partiality, not bias, not respecter of persons, not big I, little you, class systems. All right, everyone equal, and walking it out in Ephesians 5:21, like First Church was. Mutual submission in the fear of the Lord, chain of command. The key in that is fear of the Lord, the holy fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Reverential, holy fear of the Lord breeds respect, builds God's kingdom. Next, the wisdom from above, James 3:17, is pure, peaceable, easily entreated, full of mercy and good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Not putting on a show, not fronting, not posing, not making it and faking it till you make it. It is not two-faced. Oh, we're so glad you're here, but they're praying against you, targeting you, defiling you with occult witchcraft behind your back. So when I go and visit, when the Lord had me visit, you know, I told my story of 47 years of doing it just for that, called by the Lord to study the nation of doctrine, but not being up in the top ranks, but being out in the top, you know, amongst the people that follow them or other kinds as well, not only TV ministry famous, but seeing the fruit that remains and goes on. And this is where I noticed that diagnosis, it really occurred to me. I'd heard of, you know, ones like Levitical patriarch seems to come up with a lot of this to save, I don't know what it is, maybe it's the slave master thing, but totalitarianism and also the whelp spirit of demonic reading people, targeting to self-preserve, save time and wear and tear, which is seers gone awry, if it's occult, not relating, not submitting to God's whole counsel, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. So if there's this big eye pomp and ceremony and targeting people using false authority, false religion, then that is there in that group. And it could be any kind of group, white or black, but it's only been the kind I mention all the time to deliver it, Western European Levitical patriarchism and matriarchism. When we go there, we want to also point out the fruit that remains, the good quality, fine arts, worship, a lot of good talent and gifts. But right now, the gifts are not as important as the character, the heart of Christ, the fruit. If you want to know the spirit of Elijah, which is the power of Elijah, mentioned in Luke 1:17, and the Old Testament, Jezebel and versus Elijah in Kings, we want to note that we're in the New Testament now, and that the fruit of the spirit of Elijah, Elias, is mentioned in Luke 1:17, knitting relationships, the hearts of the fathers and the children together. That could mean spiritually, naturally, generation. So it's not just power, Pentecostal, Holy Ghost. It is also the fruit of love, fear of the Lord, and relationships. If I go back to the diagnosing of the organic Christ, let's do it that way, because right now a lot of these people that are in this false religion, part of the Christian ministry, have forgotten the turf that God walked upon, that all of us need to walk upon, that I try and, you know, trying to walk upon by God's grace. It said that Jesus went about doing good, healing all those who were oppressed by the devil. So people are oppressed. You need the natural and the supernatural at times. But he was a liberator, not a oppressor. But then we go to Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. It talks about the difference between the office of the prophet in the old day and the old times, Old Testament, Torah, and now. It said in the old days, God spoke to us through various means, through his prophets. That means not people couldn't, they didn't have the Holy Spirit, the book of Acts, so they could hear God and listen in the Bible as we know it. So God used and sovereignly moved upon many people, that certain ones that we know, and some we don't. There are these Jeremiahs, the Obadiahs, there's the Isaiahs, all these different ones, Amos and Habakkuk, all the ones too many to mention. But there's also the no-name prophet that God used also. Amos had been a no-name prophet. He wasn't called a prophecy, but he was sent out to give that word of the Lord in a national dire emergency like this is right now. Over in 1 Samuel, Eli, the Eli Templeite priesthood had gone to rot, and were misogynist and violating women and violating money and violating the Holy Spirit, the fear of the Lord in the eyes of the people, in their regimenting. So God used a no-name prophet out of the woodwork, nobody knows his name, that one day came out and under God's anointing just prophesied to Eli and said, Eli Templeite priesthood, you are gone. You have failed. Ichabod, the glory of the Lord has departed from you, and I believe that's where I am right now. The Ichabod Templeite priesthood, which was also a Jezebel of sort, an Eli Jezebel, king spirit, boys will be boys club, a false authority, using people, abusing people, accusing people randomly. All right, well, that was blocking God's move, and the next move after they left was the new move, which was Samuel, the first prophet of the nation of Israel. So we want to dialogue with God, check our scriptures, check our motives, check our heart. So in the first, if we're looking for the organic Jesus, the organic Christ, the Savior, who wasn't a murderer, he wasn't a first church hypocrite, holier than thou. He was the down-to-earth organic Christ who went about doing good. And you can read about him to find more about his organic qualities that we want to find in ourselves with his help by reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When Jesus Christ was alive, walking the earth in ministry, in leadership, in modeling, in mentoring, and relating with his mother, with little children, with the Pharisees, with the homegrown crowd. You can hear that noise. To me, when I get an interruption like that, I think that is a symbol to me right now of desperate. This is desperate teaching. Really to stir it up. It is not playtime. No. It's dysfunctional right now to visit a lot of these American churches where there's no fear of the Lord. There's diagnosing. There's pop psychology. There's reading people and not relating. And then there's false witness. The bottom line is Jesus Christ, because I know a lot about this and I love people and God's ministry and his ministers, I'm trying to protect people by raising a flag and alert to study doctrine and the warfare that a visitor goes through when you're not famous in some of these crowds. The showbiz crowd mainly affects many people and it's not organic right now. So Jesus went about, but let's go back to Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. It says in prophets. All right, the office of the prophet. In the old days, God spoke through certain ones sovereignly because all people couldn't get to know in a relationship like today. Hebrews 1, 2 says that in these days, God speaks to us through his son, that prophet. And that means we have the Holy Spirit. We can get the spirit of truth that abides in us, John 16, 13. Have a relationship, get good training, go to fellowship with the saints where they fear the Lord. And then you have good teaching and you hear God for yourself, along with getting input, fellowshipping with the saints, Ephesians 5:21, chain of command, wherever you go and sign on, that God leads you. Now, I want to add this to the crowd that is joyless, mirthless, no fun, but all work, all staring and peering and reading and never relating. No love, no joy on their faces. I call it the scowl. Pay attention to the scowl of false doctrine. That's a sign. There's going to be accusations somewhere down the pike. That's usually a lot of Levitical patriarchism, matriarchism that's untrue, but also false teaching, Phariseeism, and gossip, reading you, not relating, and then reporting you down to the next person they saw you. This is where witch really bugs me. It's so dysfunctional. The witch watching is elevated into an art form. It's performance, it's required, people expect it, and it's accepted in these kinds of, quote, beloved witch watching, suspicious beloved. But that's their choice. That's their turf, not mine. So I point out to them, Levitical patriarchum is a scowling fruit, and that Hebrews 1:9 is my Messiah, the organic Christ. My Messiah has got a balance of being sober, discerning, but with joy, mirth. Said in Isaiah, Hebrews 1:9, the organic Christ, whom we're looking for, the organic prophet, had more oil of joy and gladness than his fellows. People could see Jesus from afar, the Christ, and think, man, who is that person? He's got such joy. It said, Jesus Christ was anointed with the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows, but it mentions why. Why? Because he was in perspective of God's purposes and God's holy nature. Jesus Christ had the oil of joy and gladness, was imbued, empowered with, anointed with the oil of joy and gladness above his fellows because he hated iniquity and he loved what was righteous. He hated iniquity, the sin condition, what it hurt people, wounded people, murdered people, sent them to, you know, the hell forever in torment. All the sickness, disease, oppression, slavery, all these things that hurt people while we're on earth. And it said Jesus hated it. That's why he died for it and us to liberate us from it and good teaching. However, he didn't hate the sinner. He didn't accuse them. He didn't malign them. He didn't gossip about them. He didn't target them. He wasn't that kind of lowbrow, low blow savior, a totalitarianism. Then it said that Jesus loved what was righteous. He loved, but he wasn't super righteous, super religious, holier than thou, we are the only, you know, I'm going to make you, you know, you're just all a sinner, you don't go to church, you're all these things you hear now. I don't think there was any call of church hoppers mentioned in the first church. There was no time of God modeling the word submission in any wrong way. Paul mentioned it, but it was chain of command, Ephesians 5:21 for everybody, and Ephesians 1:4. Walking it out, mutual submission in the fear of the Lord, but that was 5:21. Let me do Ephesians 4. Paul said, all of us walk it out in meekness and lowliness and long-suffering, endeavoring to keep the bonds of peace together. So we've got quite a lot to work on here in ministry, and the caliber of ministry is shoddy. The caliber of ministry with false teaching, eyeing people down, never loving them, never relating, is occult, it's witchcraft, plain old witchcraft. I would say this, I would caution people who use false religion packaged under Christian ministry that you've heard from some and imported, because let me say this, if I go to a minister, which I never saw to the deep south, widespread, patriarchal, Christian, charismatic, I had never been pop diagnosed, I think it's because they're so giant. And they need to save time, and they're very elegant and very well planned, so they've got it. But see, I'm older and been around in a different field, and I've been around, I wasn't a junior minister, but they have junior ministers doing this, saving them time, warding people off, pop diagnosing. Oh, they look like they've got a demon. They've got like, they look like they've got baggage. Oh, they look like they're sorry for themselves. And see, if you've been through hell, which I had been, I'll tell my testimony later today, hopefully. If you have, I had lived out Psalm 143, where I, by the time I got there, after what I'd been through abuse and totalitarian control up before I came to Dallas. And that's when I realized, wow, there's no organic. It wasn't organic. It was well-meaning, lovely, well-planned. And I'm talking to a future church. This is their church. They own it now. They run it now. And they got it all down. And it's pretty much not African-American. It was never African-American. It was all totally Western European Levitical, you know, cult spirit. But I didn't know that. You just learn. God said, study the doctrine, know the fruit. I felt like God sent me, in hindsight, to that whole area. He sent me like Daniel to Babylon, imported to Babylon ministry. I'd never, that was spiritual realm was just horrific as a prophet. You know, anyway, we love him. We forgave him. But the barista fellowships were nicer. And so is the gym. That's why I liked it. That's why I taught online and still do for the sake of the real Christians. All right. So I felt like after I came up here that it's taken me 3 years after, you know, Daniel, and I'm going to tell this again. Daniel, after he had the vision and God showed him what he showed him, the vision of the clay feet and all that, the statue, whatever happened, it took, maybe I'm wrong on that vision, but it, you know, something happened in Daniel that he was in a, he just was exhausted, he was wiped out. Clearly wiped out after the magnificent of that vision. When I came up here, it's taken me 3 years, 2.5 years to get back. I didn't know what it was to be recalibrated from hellish, schizoid dysfunction of down there in that seat of religion, hate speech, hateful seat of religion. And not all of all the people, I'm not word cursing you, I'm just letting you know what the prophet had gotten in the revelation to pray, you know, work on. So it's accusation, whatever it is, it's all ambition. It's a lot of it. Ambition is at the root of a lot of this. Where the false doctrines are, it's usually about our turf, our good old boy club, our patriarch and matriarch, and we own the world. We centric colonial, most of this. And I just never had been into it so big. I wasn't raised around that. And I'm not a club member, and I'm teaching now Cross Body Unity to give everybody a little resource, a little prophetic prototype, a little brief. If you need it as a resource, you can get a few doctrines that are submitted to you as Selahs, not autocratic, totalitarian dogma to control you. I'm not going to do that. So we're free. I'm a pastor. I'm an area pastor, an apostolic pastor leader, but I'm not going to do it the old way. I'm going to be sent to people. If you're sent to me and need a pastor, that's one thing. I'm not looking for you. I have had enough of this. I can have my joy, but I'd rather have people come and go as the Lord leads them, a divine appointment. That's our ministry. Like a Pauline ministry, Galatians 1:1-2, submitted to everybody in Ephesians 5:21. Knowing our Bible, not just the rote, passed down knowledge of a media-affected, influenced, giant move. And we're purposely, you know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. I really like, you know, love them and liked them, but I couldn't believe that at the grassroots where the visitor comes and the lone female, I had been married and it happened when I was married, and I've been not married and it happened when I was not married, if I was alone. And this is what we realized. It was a pastoral chief hierarchy or chief teaching from maybe the old-timey Levitical patriarch shepherding movement but of the New Wine magazine, Deep South, mixed in with the witch watching of the occult whelp up in the New England Salem-esque witch trials, which I believe came over maybe from the monk who held the witch inquisition over in Germany and wrote the book it's called The Hammer of the Witch on Amazon. So we've had decades to study, but my first experience was my father wasn't like that, my Christian Baptist father. And this is charismatic or Pentecostal or spirit-filled, not usually denominational, and not African-American that I've met it. But I can tell you, I know the difference. And I never met it until it found me after I lived in one part of the Central Virginia area, been in ministry all my life, been in ministry there regionally, and then we moved, relocated to live where the minister population was, I didn't know it, controlling, authoritarian, witch-watching, occult, and anti-woman, and like shepherding movement, submitted, church hoppers. Divining me. And I had never been around it. Plus, I was having abuse, a lot of abuse in my family, personally. And I was a mom of two children, had my own minister and on media and everything. But I didn't know what to do. My dad had died. So there's a lot of dysfunction the Lord had me walk through and recover from. And I want to brag on God and give God praise. And a lot of these ministers, some of these ministers that are on TV and not on TV, give them credit and kudos for good teaching, quality, healthy. Today I was looking at people who have been around decades before me even, decades people, and I want to honor many people. You know, there's many African Americans and white. I was thinking of Dr. David Jeremiah, my mama's friend, when they were younger. She was, you know, I was younger and they were in their 70s, and she used to love Dr. Jeremiah, Dr. David Jeremiah, and she'd been raised alcoholic and abused, my mom's friend, but she'd grown up married, both of them were Christians, a very wealthy man. And when I watched her as a wealthy woman, you know, she could add anything. And he had put, I think he put air conditioning systems in hospitals and the Panther Stadium, that type of wealth. And they were in Virginia Beach, and I saw, we walked with her, you know, we went over to her house and we'd go out, and he liked her to look nice. So my mom and I would go shopping with her and sister. But I watched June, that was her name. She's up with the Lord, and she loved people. She wasn't flashy. She wasn't owning people. She wasn't the big boss. She wasn't proud. She was humble. She looked nice because she, you know, the husband wanted her to look good and he could own, you know, had money. But I saw how you can have money, because she took real money, didn't have her. And that's what I love, June. And I think of June and Dr. David Jeremiah, and I honor them and people like that everywhere, black and white, that are like that. And I met so many fine people. I just don't mention it much because I cannot tell you how bad it is to be demeaned and targeted by occult spirits, that I realized to be bold to get my ministry, this ministry, which is God's ministry for all kinds of people out there, not to be a celebrity, but to get it out there, I have to be like bold to confront a Jezebel warring spirit, a false religion in this big group, major group, mammoth group of people. Bless their hearts. White. So the issue is, it's the kernel teaching we're after. And here's the scripture for why I, as the head of the lampstand, Revelation 2, Church of Thyatira, rebuke false teaching. It's a Jezebel spirit. And the Bible teaches me that the head of any ministry, the head of any home, the head of any church, is going to be called a coward by God. Why do you tolerate that Jezebel? Why do you tolerate that false theology that reads you, targets you, prays against you? I've had visions of, I mean, this is not a small thing we've done here to help people get delivered and deliver this country of turf-owning, proprietary, master spirit of control of religion. It really is in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts. And I'd move in the book of Acts, but it's serious because of the headship is different. You know, head of home is different. I can go, chain of command is different. It is not getting your hirelings to target people and never speak to them and read them and report back. Do you think, have you read them in pop psychology, diagnosing, divining? Have you read them as an evil witch? They can't tell an Elijah sitting there like a prophet in James 3:17 fruit. These diagnosers can't tell an Elijah from a witch or a warlock. They can't tell. It's Isaiah 5:20. Woe, those who call good evil, evil good. That's Isaiah's word to the leaders of God's people. It's my leadership word right here, a prophet. So we've studied national prophets. We've been around many times, and it's only been the psychic, occult, divining, and pop, you know, really PC, pop psychology is weak, real weak. They must be fragile. I'm not fragile. I'm easily talked to. I'm respectful. But they must be fragile or time-saving. But the worst part is not just the pop psychology. It is the worst thing is occult, targeting, reading. I came up here to get away from all that dysfunction in Christian Charismatica. I'm not a charismatic since 2012 in Dallas. But I came up here. And I went to get, I thought, a family field church, you know, to find a place where I could recuperate from Dallas, enjoy myself, and also meet people and get my own ministry, God's ministry, out in the area. And I thought, oh, good, these people, I remember them. They used to be targeting whelp into this, some of that evil eye. But I thought, I'll check them out because I respect them. And I went over there and I tried it, and for a while, and all of a sudden, I was sitting there with a lady, one of their members, and all of a sudden, this person walked by, and I got scanned, and I'm a prophet. God uses that. He lets me know to protect myself. and to get, you know, understand, start studying their doctrine. So I went, oh my, oh dear, the bloom is off the rose. They're starting to scan me. That means if they don't love you, if they don't relate to you, they only scan you. They've picked you out to accuse you as something bad on their turf. So I understand that. So I just know that. And so I didn't say anything to the lady that was sitting there. And she said, uh-oh, Tavo, better watch out. We're being watched, monitored. We got scanned. I thought, you're right. So I know if there are five of them, I know if there's one of them, I know if there are many of them, and I know when they're targeting people. And that is the occult minister, which is false religion, which is going to go down very shortly in our nation, unless they repent. If they put a, let's put it this way, these people who diagnose you, read you, but without speaking, ever, 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 no confronting. If they make these charismatic witch lists on famous ministries in areas, but also national headquarters, which I know they do because I've been in Tampa, Florida a lot, Tulsa, Oklahoma, East Coast, up and down, Missouri, one or two times. Anyway, the Lord has said to me, these people are on the last vestiges of their ministry if they don't repent of this false religion in the churches. All right, if they don't harness it and deliver themselves. But that is their choice. I'm not going to make them. All right. So then we go to, well, if there is somebody that reads me or you, any of you in ministry, you walk there, that you're not in their move, all these whelp are so settled in, they can't tell anybody from another move because they never left their move for 15, 20 years, even 8 years, 5 years. Are they all, you know, but that's their choice. Everybody's got a choice. So I thought, if they walk in and fail to discern the body of Christ directly one more time, I'm leaving. And I don't go back, because that happens all the time lately. In the last 15 years, it's gotten so big. Poor me, big. Poor me. It's a poor me spirit. So failing to discern the body of Christ correctly is a giant warning. Accusing people you've never talked to or loved and respected, just because it's a white female who's not a red state female like you want, or a black person, or a green person, or a man. So when I heard that they have witch lists, when I was in Tampa, I was given a conference back then in 2003, and the pastor said afterwards, Tavo, you know that group keeps a witch list in the national headquarters. And I thought, oh my, I'm not surprised, but that's discouraging. These are charismatic, and to what I see, they're generally majority white, full of it. So I thought, now what is wrong with failing to discern the body of Christ correctly? It's like it is targeting people that you've never loved as a fellow Christian, black, white, or brown. And Paul warned, he said, when people fail to discern the body of Christ correctly, some of them are going to die. Some of them have died. Some are going to be sick and they won't know why, for failing to discern the body of Christ correctly. So I warn these people right now. But if you were to say, let's say a visitor goes, a new visitor who's not in the boys or men's club or girls club shows up, and they target them by reading their vibe, like the Salem witch trials, spectral evidence up in Massachusetts first colonies, like those whelp did, that part of the whelp. All right, and you read them. And you think, oh, you surmise that they are a spooky, evil person. And you go, you don't relate to them, you tell the top people, but they don't go check it out for themselves. They don't want to relate, they don't go speak to women, they don't respect them. They're only followers, fan club, and hate to say it, maybe groupies here and there through the, you know, to them. So then you go and you make them and put them on a list without speaking, without confronting, without Matthew 18:15, without one-to-one face-to-face Galatians 6:1, and you do this all the time for 20 years. You do this all the time to black people and white people and young and old, people that look a type, but you pass the witch list around the United States to the national headquarters, to all the people in your good old boy, good old girl type psychic society of ministry. Well, I would say that would be, to me, blasphemous. That would be evil. That would be witchcraft modeling. It's false witnessing. It's advertising that you want people when you really don't want. It's failure to discern the body of Christ correctly. So with all this, I'm going to admonish. I am admonishing, exhorting, reproving, and correcting leadership. God loves you. So do I. I have no fear of that. I have no pain. God showed me how to remove it and get people delivered of it. But I give God the grace and the glory and honor my father and my mother who were white but not Levitical, not into this. I have many in the Pentecostal spirit-filled groups that are white and that don't do it either. Brother John Chappell up in heaven, he knew me real well. But many people that say they're in the prophets and apostles right now in the witch-watching boys club and girls club. And there could be some black ones, but mostly it's white. And I'm not naming names. I'm not naming your names. No, I could, but I won't. God bless you.